Tuesday, December the 29th, 361st day of the new year. Fortuna Police Chief and Interim City Manager Bill Doberstein is supposed to be here. We're looking to find out whether or not he just forgot, ignored us, or if he's en route and got nailed with that heavy Fortuna traffic. But we can take care of a couple of quick things here before we go to the break. Like our quote of the day, using the new fancy book that Rob brought in yesterday for us, Leonardo da Vinci, first Da Vinci quote we've had. Men and animals are merely a passage and channel for food, a tomb for other animals, a haven for the dead, given life by death of others, a coffer full of corruption. Middle Ages were not a time you wanted to be around. We'll be back.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop. Chief Doberstein / City Manager Doberstein kind of gave the impression that he was a little too busy for us. So we're going to have to take that out of his hide
Regan leaves the friendly city and things just go to hell down there.
I thought you were going to say pot, but
I was, but I didn't want to.
I would, yeah.
I didn't want to jump on one of our subject matters.
Me and PC, we go way back. So I kind of hijacked Dan out of the newsroom. We heard. Tomorrow we'll hear a little bit about the year that was, and Ryan did that a little bit. We've got Rob coming back on Thursday, so we're going to do our local.
You've got a really good Virginia Bass Talk Shop tomorrow. Virginia's
now he's clairvoyant about this kind of thing.
Well, the segment that you recorded with Virginia on the airport, I think, was enlightening. So that's going to be one. But anytime you have the local elected officials on, we have good Talk Shop. There's no doubt about it.
This is Dan Squire, by the way, out of the news.
Yeah, that's KINS News and Information Time. It's Dan Squire on Talk Shop this
good,
morning.
Yeah. They'll take care of any highlights in this newscast coming up tonight.
Yeah, exactly. This is going to be the news. We're just going to cut this segment out.
Looking at the year that has been, just in general terms, gut feel. If I said top three words that would describe 2015 out of the news perspective, what three words would you use?
Fatal collisions.
That's two words.
It's a hyphen.
Oh, it's a hyphen word? Okay, yep. Damien's going to save him. It's a hyphen, so that's one.
Fatal collisions, new marijuana laws, and wildfires.
Okay.
I think, considering what we did, and Damien, it's interesting because he's the one person in the world that listens to the news every single morning. And it was something we talked about during the summer, this idea, the woods were on fire, and it can almost seem overblown when we're doing a news report of 35 to 40 seconds each morning. You even mentioned it to me one point, Brian, the 136,000 acres in this, we understand it's a lot, but the wildfires, the impact that we are seeing from drought, the impact we are seeing from forest management practices, and the impact that we saw with serious fires in the eastern part of the county affecting folks in Willow Creek and those small communities out there. And
well, now, all the way up through Oregon.
Yeah, and the cost. Yeah, we didn't even get to Oregon. We didn't even get there yet. And the cost that is being incurred. One of the stats we ran this year was more than $1 billion of a $5 billion budget for the U.S. Forest Service is being dedicated now to just fighting fires. That's not maintenance. That's not road maintenance. That's not making forests, clearing out forests.
Just
that's
response.
Not, that is response with equipment, with personnel to fight catastrophic wildfires. And I believe it was a lawmaker in Utah and one of our lawmakers who said we need to start treating wildfires for what they are, natural disasters. And they're akin to earthquakes. They're akin to tsunamis. They're akin to the very powerful impacts that nature can have on our communities.
But they're semi-predictable and manageable prior to the event, and that makes it different. I would suggest that's a little bit of a cop-out.
Well,
maybe it's a budget prioritization discussion.
Yes, that's exactly
what
it is.
But it's a cop-out to call it a natural disaster.
But they do occur regularly. They do occur naturally. But it is a budget prioritization because if the argument is that we can extend the proactive, as you say, but whether it's forest maintenance, that sort of thing, we're not going to be spending the $1.5 billion that California spent this summer to fight wildfires. And that's just at the state level. Talking with the local foresters, as we did with Gary Reinerson at Green Diamond, I spent quite a while, more than one occasion, talking with Gary, and he had a lot of solid information on the difference between the way a private corporation manages their forest lands and the way the government, the state, and the federal governments are partially hamstrung by their own policies and the impacts that they have. He said you can tell the difference when you're driving through a national forest and when you're driving through private owned forest land.
And well, in state parks, various states have different. I mean, there's not one size fits all.
Yes, yes.
You can tell that it's a political beast.
And wildfire started. Ken Woods was on in February of this year talking about we're already getting ready for fire season. We're talking with the Cal Fire guys. We're already setting up. We know we've had 4 years of consecutive drought, and even though it has not been as severe in our region, all you have to do is go 30 miles east and see the impacts that they're feeling. Because here on the coast, we've had our regular rainfall totals. Ruth Lake Reservoir is filled up each year as it's supposed to. In fact, it filled up this month, the earliest it's happened. So we've been fortunate. But that wildfire, we started wildfire stories at Mad River, the Ruth Lake wildfire that just exploded. That was late June. And we had already done a week's worth of prep stories. A
couple of months ahead.
That's right, we were. Yeah. And by the time we got to October, I'm like, I'm tired of doing wildfire stories. We need another subject matter. In fact, my boss is on my back saying, do we need another wildfire story? But how many hundred thousands of acres were scorched? And it's not just that the woods burned. The woods burn, it's where they burned and who they impacted. And that's the big difference. The woods are always going to burn. They burn every summer. But as you've brought up and you've talked with people, we keep encroaching. And the resources aren't there. And that'll lead us into what can we do with our resources, particularly in the rural areas. And we jumped on that one with Measure Z.
Yeah, that's one of them that's coming around the corner. You wonder why we limit the news to just 4.5 minutes of content. What I wrote down, I know this is a burning issue for everybody, 3 Ds, drought and related, death and related, whether it's knifing, shootings, cars, whatever. Mm-hmm. And the drug culture.
Yep.
And off of that, the Measure Z. Because I don't think Z would have happened if we didn't have that. And the homeless and DHHS and some of the other things were related there. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit DecadeOfDifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning. We've got Dan Squire alongside, kind of doing our year in review here from our perspective. Dan, the drought, I think, you talked about the fire, certainly the drought, El Nino. You wrap it all together, it's a fluid situation.
No doubt.
It's intriguing for me to hear you and some other folks that have been here for 10 years or less talk about, oh my. And then I sit down with guys I grew up with, or like Billy Hansel, and you know, some of the guys that have been around and grew up here but are perhaps a little less experienced than I, go, yeah, right. Yeah.
You and Ryan,
welcome to winter, baby.
Well, yeah, you and Ryan, yeah, when I I've only been here since 2003, but you and Ryan talked about that the other day. You know, this is these heavy winter rains, the winter storms, and that was the norm for you guys. Well, I've been here for
washouts on roads?
Yeah, I was here I've been here for 12 years. We saw some rough storms in 2004, 2005, but since 2007, it's been and even in fact the last 4 years, our last 3 winters have been pretty mild, pretty cold, pretty clear. And so to see these storms, to see the storm systems come through, to see the heavy snow in the mountains yet again is, this is what they talk about as Humboldt weather. And, of course, I didn't grow up with it. I enjoy the sun. I've enjoyed our wonderful, I've enjoyed these wonderful past 2 summers that we've had. So
in January.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of cool to see the drought. I think what has happened, at least for a lot of the, from a lot of perspectives, is the state trying to one size it, and it really drives the stupidity of this. And you know, of course, I'm not going to hedge too much. The stupidity of this having LA County under drought restrictions and Humboldt County under the same restrictions, and there was a little bit of tweaking.
And we did get some tweaking.
But that wasn't because Humboldt County is different than LA County. It was because Humboldt County already had its act together, right, and LA had blown it off.
Right. No, I think the most fascinating story that came out of the drought, and it's not one we necessarily covered locally, was the ground is sinking in the Central Valley, in the San Joaquin Valley, because they are depleting the groundwater so greatly. And that's just a geological fact.
The caverns.
And we're not talking 3 inches, we're talking 3 feet, you know, as they continually go down deeper and deeper and dig more wells to get the groundwater out, because the water through the Sacramento Valley has been cut off. It's one of the most fertile spots on Earth, and yet it's also the one where we have to ship the most water. I mean, that's a breadbasket for the world, is the San Joaquin, the fruit basket for the world is the San Joaquin Valley. And that's so fascinating. And yet it is so different in climate and in microclimate than our region, where we're doing just fine. We have the water resources that are necessary. The continuing fight over them trying to take more water out of the Trinity, when it over and over again, we keep referencing this agreement, these contracts that were made in 1950 and 1955, and the tribes and the local stakeholders are going, wait, this is already settled. Why do we keep having to go back to court to fight this? So the drought impact is, for us, is different. It's almost a litigious one, in that we're trying to hold on to the resources that we have, whereas other people literally do not have water to drink.
So it'll be intriguing if the drought ends, by normal standards.
Yes.
The drought ends this year.
Which is going to be another 4 years, though, till we see
that. To see what the argument shift is. I mean, one of the things that we had talked about, March, April, was the water bureaucracy. Giggle, giggle, water Nazis. They're out there. I mean, there was a battle, I think you ran a story a couple weeks ago already, that somebody wanted to lock this thing down, that this was going to be a permanent,
yep,
instead of just a short term. It is amazing to me the overgrab that the state wants to do at any opportunity.
Well, I'll tell you this. When you get into this, is a subject that if you want to embark on a course of study, start studying water rights in California, I wouldn't even recommend the West. Just start in California. Heck, you can start with the great Jack Nicholson movie. What was it? Chinatown. and the importance of water.
Oh, I thought it was One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I'd use that one more for Sacramento, I think, than Chinatown, but that's okay.
It is not a simple issue, and it's an issue that is so tied to us as human beings, not just as a guy here working in the radio station, but the very necessity of having potable, clean, accessible water is so important to us.
Down when former Councilman Jim Gupton was alive, he had the place in Eureka where Broadway and 4th and 5th come together. You know, it's 101, but it's kind of a goofy, and you probably know it if you don't know what the naming is. Underneath Broadway at that point are two creeks. Hmm. They were covered up in the late 1800s, and it's kind of what you did. Throw stuff on there. If it makes mud, throw more on until it stops. There was oil coming through.
Yeah.
No way to trace where it was from, because nobody knows where the creek is anymore. But you start getting into that level, and of course our chemical analysis now are so much more sensitive than what they were historically. You know, some folks are looking for zero detect. Some folks are saying, okay, this isn't acceptable, and doing the battle, and the cost, you got that property, again, I'm going to use a Eureka reference for this one, with Henderson Center. A quarter block is now cordoned off because something was found in there, and they're just airing it out. That kind of stuff, I think droughts
I think the impact, I think what we see here locally, and I think this is the one area where you talk about marijuana cultivation. We are seeing changes in the medical marijuana laws, the localization. We can make our own, create our own ordinances, how we're going to regulate it here at the county level, how we're going to regulate it at the city level. There's a chance it becomes personal possession and personal use become legalized in California next year. And yet the same issue that we are seeing with logging and fishing and that sort of thing, it's resource extraction. And when we go to the illegal marijuana grows, you're talking about the diversion of streams. What was it? It was in June or July we had the one major bust in southern Humboldt where they had literally drained two streams dry. So that's the impact that we see here, because the water, we don't own.
Well, we feel it. We don't see it.
That's right. We are fortunate in that we have enough for our use, and the other water gets shipped out to help others. That's that's why water rights and water usage is fascinating, but it's not an easy subject to discuss.
Well, let's see what happens at the Klamath. How that blows up.
It's done. But the Klamath Basin Agreement is done. It's shot. As it stands now, it's at the end of the year. They had until last week to renew or to make sure that agreement was going to go through. It was not in the omnibus bill, the federal spending bill. It's done. I got a press release from the stakeholders in Southern Oregon on the Klamath lands. I've gotten press releases from the tribes, and there was a story today. I just saw someone was quoted saying, "This is it. There's no more Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement."
KINS News and Information Times 8:43.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:47. We're back talking shop, our year in review with Dan Squire. Dan, one of the challenges I think, and I don't know if it's true of every rural community, it's certainly rural communities that are windy roads.
Yeah.
Is death on the roads.
Sure.
For whatever reason, I suppose it really doesn't matter. But we seem to have an inordinate amount, or at least we're paying more attention to it. That's probably a better term, in Humboldt and Del Norte County, just the numbers of deaths that happen on the roadways. I mean, you've kind of scratched your head about it for years. That one doesn't seem to be going away.
It doesn't, and it never will. We drive too much. We don't drive too much. We drive as much as we need. But we are a driving car-based society. And every time the CHP guys are here on Talk Shop, and Cy May made this comment, you got to talking about conditions and, when he slows down and he pays it. You and I, and this isn't beating our own drums. We pay attention when we're on the road. We're not on our phones. We're not distracted. We're focused on the driving at hand. For some reason, that was beaten into me or drilled into me as a young man, and I've always been an attentive driver. You get out here on a wet road, you get out here and it's dark, and all that, there's no street lights on some of the back roads, and you're distracted. It only takes a flip of the wheel, and you're up against a redwood tree. There's just nothing. You're not running off into pasture lands around here.
I'm surprised that we don't have more debris related.
I'm surprised we don't have more people shooting each other because other people are on their cell phones. That's the one that kills me. I mean, you can count the people just driving from here to downtown Eureka when I'll leave in the afternoon. I guarantee you I'll pass three miles,
folks.
Yeah, it's not even that far. I will pass at least three drivers. And it usually happens when they're sitting at the light at Myrtle, because now instead of that little 5-second delay, it becomes a 10-second delay. And you know, you can see through their side view mirror that they're looking at their lap. They're not looking at their lap because they're reading a book. All right, so you take distracted driving, you take dark, wet road conditions, you take impairment, and you take fatigue, which is wholly and woefully underreported as a cause, fatigue. You add that in because when you drive out of here, you're going a distance. You're not making a short trip into and out of Humboldt County. You add those factors together, and you're going to get the 28 road deaths, road fatalities that we saw in 2015. And that's par for the course. That's two a month.
And that's just Humboldt County. Delmar, probably one a month is kind of what we guesstimated.
Yeah, and it's when you talk with the CHP guys, they bring up two things: the speed and the distraction. You take care of those two things, the deaths will drop.
Well, if you're not driving, you'll kind of take care of it too.
There you go. You can walk.
Yeah, I need to be wearing a badge. See you tomorrow.
All right, boss.